Beloved, Christ is in our midst. As you can tell from the color of the candles, our vestments, the hymns we have sung, we are celebrating and continuing to celebrate the birth of Mary, the Mother of God, whose feast we began yesterday and continue today, all the way till its last day on Wednesday. We celebrate this great and wondrous feast when the barren Joachim and Anna, up in years, without children, bore a child. And not just any child, but the woman who would become the Mother of God. So we honor her continually for these next days, especially for her birth. Yet already we are transitioning to the next great feast. On Friday, the elevation of the cross. For if we listened closely to the epistle reading and the gospel reading, we heard reference to the cross of Christ, because already we are being pointed to the next feast which is to come, because the Mother of God was born that she could give birth to the Savior, and he was born in order to live and to die for us. St. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians today, tells us that he glories in nothing except the cross of Christ. And recall that at Paul's time, crucifixion was a way of execution of the worst criminals. And Paul, a faithful Jew, a Pharisee, now says that his whole life as a Pharisee is nothing except to glory in the cross of the crucified one. And the gospel today, one of the shortest ones, before the liturgy, the deacon and I were looking, it's only 5 verses, 4 sentences is all. Our Lord Jesus Christ is telling this to Nicodemus, one of the Jewish officials of the day, who came to him secretly by night because he feared what the others would think about him coming to this supposedly unlearned rabbi to hear instruction from him. And the reference to the cross is a little oblique, but we can understand it, I think. For Jesus says, as Moses lifted up the serpent on the staff in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that those who believe in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Moses made a serpent out of bronze and lifted it up before the people who were dying from the bites of snakes. And whenever they looked upon this serpent on the staff, they were healed. Jesus is connecting what will happen to him to what Moses did. For he says the Son of Man also must be lifted up. And these words, lifted up, we understand to mean lifted up upon the cross, nailed to the cross, and the cross raised up so that people had to look up at him and see him there crucified. This is what the lifting up Jesus is speaking of. And he goes on to say a phrase that you'll see at so many sporting events. Some camera will shine on a person holding a sign that says John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that those who believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. And indeed, that verse and the verse after it, for the Son of God came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. For in these words, we understand God's love. Not love in quantity, in the sense of God loved the world so much, but rather of quality. God loved the world in this way. This is the way God loves the world. How is it that he loves the world? In what way? In the way that he holds nothing back from himself. He thinks nothing of himself, so that he sends his Son to us. Now think of it. When we show a loving word or deed to someone, and they don't return that love, perhaps even hurt us in return, do we keep showing that love in word and in deed? And not one day only, but again and again, forever. Because this is the quality of God's love. We estrange ourselves from him by our sins daily, and he never stops loving us, ever. He's always trying to win us back to himself. He sends his Son because he thinks again not of himself. He's thinking of us because he wants us to be with him. This is his desire. What is our desire, beloved? Is our desire to return that love day by day, moment by moment? Or is our desire to turn away and follow the fallenness of our heart, our selfishness, our pride, our self-will? And even then, God loves us. He sends his Son to us to bring us to himself. Let us have these words not only in our minds, but in our hearts. Let them sink there. Stay there. Be with us in our day in and day out. That God loved the world. God loved me, the sinner, though I sin against him, in such a way as to send his Son. And not only to send his Son, but for his Son to live and die for me, the sinner, who sins against him again and again. And again and again, he calls me back. Back to him, back to this time and place, this holy temple, to worship him with love, with humility, to be restored by him, renewed by him, vivified by his love. Let us keep this in our hearts so that we may draw ever closer day by day to the one who is love, the Father and the Son and the Spirit.